What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a small business owner, you already know what it takes to keep everything moving. You're juggling customers, invoices, and about 100 decisions every day. Thankfully, taxes don't have to be one more thing on that list. With Intuit TurboTax, you can get your business taxes done for you with a full-service expert. TurboTax matches you with your dedicated tax expert who knows your industry, understands your business write-offs, and gives you the personalized advice your business deserves. Upload your documents right in the app, hand everything off, and still feel like you're in the loop the whole way through. You can even get real-time updates on your expert's progress right in the app, which makes it so much easier to stay on track. And you can get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com to get matched with an expert today. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
List all the things that you aren't willing to give up for the dreams that you have. And that is what the person who will beat you is willing to give up. If you think about the difference between winners and losers, winners define themselves by what they made happen. And losers define themselves by what happened to them.
When your friends start to say you've changed, it's because they don't know how to say you've grown.
And because they see so few people who have, so it makes sense that they don't have that. So I see that as a lack of skill, not malice. Like, it's not that they're bad people, they just don't even know it because so few people do change. I love this question, which is, what would you do if you weren't afraid?
It's an interesting paradox that the energy it requires to start doing something is way more than the energy required to continue doing the thing.
It won't get harder. Like, this is the hardest part. And so if you can just make it through this, everything else is downhill. It's not that the things that the dragons are going to slay aren't going to get bigger. They are. But you become so much more equipped to slay them back. And you have so many more allies. You have people in the stands cheering for you. You have the audience. You have all of these other things that are behind you. But in the beginning, it's just you with a stick against a bear. And arguably, that fight is a harder fight to win than beating a dragon when you have a nuclear bomb and six nations behind you. And so it's not even like the size of the hardship. It's just also the resources and how few of them you have and how so much of the beginning is literally burning the one thing you have, which is time. Because you have no leverage. You don't have the money to pay other people to help you. You don't have the resources to go. No one can learn it for you. It's like there's a lot of the things that we care about a lot. Like, no one can work out for you. It doesn't matter how much money you have. No one can learn skills for you. And so in the early days, like, it feels so painful because you're like, you look around to see who can help you. And then you're like, it's me again. Those early days, that little trench winning in the weeds, oftentimes gives you these huge advantages later on because you have more context than anyone else. And so rather than lament them and hate the fact that you're going through it, remembering that these will be arrows that you put in the quiver that you're going to be using to slay the future bigger dragons. And so expecting it to be easy is what makes it much harder than it ever is.
Every single difficult thing that you do is kind of like a massive wall that you need to get over. And you go, wow, I'm so glad that I've got over that wall. And, you know, think about how many other people are going to fall that wall there.
Trying to assume that I need perfect conditions in order to start. Because, I mean, starting is the perfect condition. Like, whatever condition that you're in that you start was the perfect condition. What's wild about the fear that people have when they're starting out is that they say things like, I have nothing going for me. I have no advantages. I have nothing to my name. I have no money. I have no network. I have no resources. But it also means that you have nothing to lose, which makes you incredibly dangerous. And I think people wildly underestimate how many shots on goal you can take when you have nothing to lose. Whereas when someone has something to lose, they have to be more and more selective about the shots they take. And so you have the perfect conditions for taking risk, because the worst case scenario is baseline, is where you're currently at.
Correct. Yeah.
And so that
your
means,
downside is this.
Which means that it's like going to the casino and playing craps, but they say that you can just keep playing until you win. But people are afraid to roll. But I love this question, which is, what would you do if you weren't afraid? And I love thinking about that when I'm thinking about big life decisions. Like, what would I do if I weren't afraid? And what would I do if I knew I couldn't fail? And fear is a mile wide and an inch deep. And so it looks like this ocean that you're going to step into and drown. But as soon as you step into it, you realize it was not that deep at all. And you can keep walking through it. And I just love that visual, because a lot of times when it's like we have this anxiety around this big decision we have to make, if you actually take the step and realize that it's not death, you're not going to drown immediately. There's plenty of other steps you can take from there, even if you get a little wet. So there's a lot of people say, like, do the work. And in Gym Launch, and it's continued into our stuff today, but do the boring work is what we call it. And boring is what makes you rich. The boring activities, it's the double checking the emails. It's writing the follow-up sequence that you really don't feel like writing. And honestly, just getting it done will make you significantly more money than not getting it done. And so it's like, it's Michael Phelps talks about this too, with swimming, like just laps after laps after, like he doesn't even have the variety of like different moves or different, like it's just laps, just sheer volume of work. And, I call it the Rocky cutscene, and almost every successful person that I have ever encountered has gone through not a month or a year, but many years of doing work without reward, where they have to do things that other people find boring, and they have to sacrifice things that everyone finds interesting that most people want to do during that entire season of their life. And they basically sacrifice a season of other things that they would prefer to do stuff that they would not prefer to do because of the one thing they want most. And that's the Rocky cutscene. And instead of lasting 5 minutes, it just usually lasts 5 or 10 years.
Even now, it's still something that I struggle with, realizing that now isn't forever.
Mm.
The thing that you're doing right now doesn't need to be forever. It's not forever.
Yeah. There's this huge time delay between when we start behaving in a way that a winner behaves and when we start winning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the problem is that the bigger the mountain you're trying to climb, the bigger the W you're trying to get, typically the more delayed it is
longer
between
the lag.
Yeah, between when you start behaving like a winner and when you start being a winner. And most people don't get the fast enough feedback loop to know that they're on the right path when they are taking these first steps in the right direction, because they have this really big goal, but they forget that with that really big goal comes the even longer delay that it takes to get there while still continuing to act with no feedback from society.
No positive reinforcement. No,
whatsoever. Nothing. And I think that's like, if I actually had to put a real, like what has worked so well for me, and why the input over the output focus has been so powerful, is that I can extend the time horizon basically indefinitely because the goal is me and then the external goals occur. So I think a lot of us have the battle of the other self, that we're the lesser version of ourself that we're trying to kill every single day. And so a lot of times we have this desire to point the blame finger externally, but wherever you point the finger of blame, power follows. And so whoever I blame for the life I have is the person who I give all the power over my existence, over my circumstances. And so it hurts, but if you...
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Easter should be the best day of the year. It's a celebration of the resurrection of hope. Come to Crossroads Church and celebrate an empty tomb and a living hope. Info and service times at crossroads.net.
Turn the finger inwards and you start saying, huh, I don't like my life. The person that I need to punish or get back at is the real person who got me here, which is me. And so you may be right that other people did certain things or you got dealt a bad hand. It also doesn't matter because the only thing that you can't control is obviously the actions that you take. And the only person who's in control of that is you. The revenge porn is thinking about what the version of you who got you here did, and then acting in the exact opposite of that as many times as you possibly can. And the pain that you feel by rejecting the thing that you used to do that got you into this bad circumstance, that's the real revenge.
We don't rise to the standards we have when others are watching. We fall to the standards we have when no one is watching. The only work that really matters is the work that no one sees. It shows you who you really are rather than who you say you are.
There's this line that I heard David Goggins say on Rogan, and I can't remember who he was saying it to or what he said in response to, but he just said, I'm David Goggins, bitch. And I remember him saying it, and I thought to myself, like, you want to be able to say that in the mirror to yourself and not laugh at yourself. Mm-hmm. And the only way that I can do that is know that when no one's watching, I work harder than when they're watching. And thinking about it like that has given me this persistent and ever-present scorecard or third party that's like, no one's watching, which means now you have to work because otherwise you're full of shit. And so it's this continuous reinforcing cycle of the me and other me holding the whip behind me to see how much I can take. But with each lash of the whip that I take, learning that I can take it and continue to trudge on. And so as long as you keep going, you bear witness to yourself of what you are capable of. And I find that incredibly satisfying in the trenches of misery when you have to go through it.
It means you're like, not full of shit.
I'm still here.
It means that you're not full of...
So I think what we're teasing at is authenticity. And so a lot of people feel like imposters because what they think, what they say, and what they do are completely different. But from an operational perspective, because that's how I like to define a lot of words, which is, what do I have to do to be that, right? What do I have to do to be authentic? And you can describe someone as authentic by saying, how would you behave if there was no possibility of punishment? And so if you could not be punished at all, that behavior is who you are authentically. And so in my opinion, our degrees of freedom are predicated on how much, to what extent, we act as though we could not be punished. And so if what we want to do and what we do have no possibility of punishment, that is what we are when we are our true selves. Most of the pain that people experience is purely in their own minds. And so to your point, I think there's an interesting one between like burnout versus hard. And so like, for me, burnout is when I would define it as my output per unit of time decreases. So I can see that that's measurable, right? Now, like I can say like number of pages that I edit or the quality of the content that I create, like my output per time, like the team knows when I like, when I'm like 6 hours, 7 hours into recording something, they're like, I literally start like slumping. You're like physically, I just start like slumping and I like my cadence isn't as like, I'm just not as sharp, right? There's that versus emotional burnout, which I think people mislabel as burnout, when really it's just like they don't know how to reframe reality. And so what it really is they got a comment on a post that bugged them. And like, again, it's like pulling it from the shadows. It's like, no, this stuff doesn't work. It's like, hold on. What's the one voice that actually is coming through? What is the real thing? Well, there is this comment. Okay. great, it's embarrassing to even have to say that. But when you say it, then you admit it, and all of a sudden you put it in the light, and the shame kind of starts to evaporate. Because then you can name it and be like, is this comment bigger than my future? Is this comment bigger than me? And one of the things that I that has helped me was saying, like, what's true about this? And the next one is like, what if we confront it and say, like, what if they're right? Now what? Because I think a lot of effort gets put into trying to deny reality, right? Like, there's this clip that I shared from Tom Bilyeu, and he was talking about how he gets made fun of for his ears being big, right? And I think it's a really good clip, because his point that he was making, he's like, is that it's true. I do have big ears. And so that's, if they're like, you have no right to be making content. Are they right? Okay. And I'm still going to do it anyways. Because the thing is, like, I can still do the things that create success and not deserve it and still get it. And that actually felt very powerful for me, because it was like, I don't have to deserve to success. I can still just do the stuff that gets it. It's like, you don't have to deserve the girl, but you can still do the things that get her. And do you deserve her when you have her? I don't know. Who knows? I hate the word deserve to begin with, right?
Yes.
But like, that has been super powerful for me, which is like, what if they're right? And because a lot of people they spend so much effort trying to fight the fact that the comments might be right. This might have been a fucking terrible thumbnail.
Yep.
You know what? This might have been a boring video. This post might have been regurgitated content. This post might have been inspired too closely by someone else's post, right? What if they're right? And
yeah.
Does it make me a piece of what if it does? And
being an asshole is a weak person's idea of strength. Complaining is their connection. Never let yourself be held back by other people's fears. People criticize what they're afraid to do themselves because bold action reminds them of their own inaction. If you're afraid to be criticized, why do you care about the opinions of those who are too timid to do it themselves? If you are the criticizer, does tearing down someone who has the courage you lack make you better?
People criticize because it helps them justify the risks they chose not to take, in the hopes that it'll dissuade you from doing it so that you can be in the exact same position as them, which then justifies that they made the right call. And so when I think about how hard I want to work, the interesting thing about that is that the only person who can judge you on your success is you, because you're the only one who knows how much left in the tank you really had. And the better you get, and you can resonate with this, you start winning exteriorly. And that's when people are like, it felt so empty. It's because they didn't actually work as hard as they could have. They just worked hard enough to beat everyone else. But that discrepancy between how hard you could have worked to work your hardest versus what was required in order to win, to me, that's the opportunity that shifting towards the work being the goal unlocks for you. And I work harder now than I did when I was poor. And I think it's because I've learned to enjoy it.
It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care. Or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour. Plus, access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
Easter should be the best day of the year. It's a celebration of the resurrection of hope. Come to Crossroads Church and celebrate an empty tomb and a living hope. Info and service times at crossroads.net.